When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
First, we had them like, not at like, why, baby? All right, inside the 1 a.m. hour on the fan in New York. It's Tuesday. I've got about 50 minutes left, not even. Time flies when you're watching Monday Night Football. Those games were trash, too. I mean, I knew the Vikings were not about to let Caleb Williams, college quarterback, and that college offense do anything. And Desmond Ridder and the Raiders, they did fool me, though. I did bet on the Raiders, not to win the game, but I bet some of the overs. I thought Desmond Ridder, he's been with them for at least a month, over a month. I thought he could do better than that on offense. But yeah, you guys don't want to talk football. That's fine. You guys want to talk puck, talk hockey? How about that Devils game on Saturday? I'll see y'all there this Saturday. Me, the Brat Pack. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be lit Saturday. American Whiskey, Devils game. We're shooting a vlog. I'll be back. Hey, you guys see. If you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @Keith_McPherson. Never mind the people in my comments. Never mind people trolling me. I don't know. It was a crazy week last week. Like, you know, it's funny, right? Like, no such publicity as bad publicity. Like I was saying about Travis Hunter and his girlfriend. People talk about you. It just brings more eyes and ears and attention to you. And I don't know, man. Last week was one of those weeks for me. And I was like, okay, yeah, let me just, you know, keep doing what I do. Matt is in Hoboken. Matt, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's going on? I was just calling in to say that I think John Hyman's response was an absolute loser response, and also a response of someone who is obviously feeling a little bit of pressure from something that he was known and doing behind closed doors. So that's all I wanted to say about that. I typically would be calling talking about the Rangers, but they suck so bad now.
Give it a few weeks, and maybe the fortunes will change. Thanks for the call, Matt. He called him Hyman. John Heyman. Yeah, you know, and it's crazy, bro, because, like, in the time that all that happened, I was laughing because I was just shocked. I'm like, that was not what I was aiming for, hoping for, when Connor and I booked John Heyman on a Friday night. Exactly when the Clay Holmes news broke. When is the Clay Holmes press conference? I'm still waiting to see that. The whole thing was like, okay, everybody's on edge waiting for Juan Soto news. And I knew he wasn't going to break the news. And like I said, I've been on my live, on YouTube, Twitter, talking about it. I talked to a bunch of people on Twitter and Instagram. That's another thing, too. People think because I'm a radio host, like I can't comment on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. I have a phone. I have thumbs. I have internet access. When you at me, I get the notification, but I guess it's just like if you get to a certain level, like I'm not famous in my eyes. Like people think I'm like famous where like I can't do regular people's stuff. I'm not famous until I'm rich. I'm not famous till my mom is straight. I'm not famous until my son is taken care of, my wife is good. I'm not rich. I'm not famous. I'm none of that. Like, I'm on the radio at 1 a.m. Like, I'm not what some people think I am. So, you know, with the John Heyman stuff, it brought, at first, a lot of negative energy, but then some people laughing and joking. But, like, you know, now I'm still seeing stuff where, you know, you give people something to run with. They're going to run with it, man. They're going to run with it. And, again, I apologize to John in real time. And I explained my approach after watching John on the Bleacher Report app, where I used to do streams. So I would get the alert, hey, John Heyman is live on the Bleacher Report app. Watching him on Yes Network, or, you know, he was doing interviews all week and people were asking him the same exact questions. My advice to you is always be different. But also, you know, be respectful. And I apologize. That came off disrespectful to him. I didn't mean it to be. I didn't come up with that stuff. Like, that's another thing, too. Am I the first one to make a reference to John Heyman and Scott Boras? I'm not. Where do you think I got it from? The internet. For years. I'm the first one. I guess I'm the first to make the joke or make light of it to him. And for that, I apologize. Was not trying to disrespect the guy. I've seen him a couple times at MLB Network, Yankee Stadium. When I see him, I'll literally go up to him, apologize again, and thank him. Because he is so big. He is so known. Where if you listen to that, I say, everybody knows who you are, man. People are hanging off your words. I really was trying to get him to a place where I was like, yo, don't sweat the whole Arson Judge stuff. And don't, even this, like, so what if people think you're a part of Boras Corp? Laugh it off. It's funny. And like, even when the video came out of Juan Soto walking in Citi Field and he taps John Heyman, I'm like, what are we talking about, bro? Look at this. I don't know. I just go back to, like, when I get on this microphone, man, somebody's working. Somebody's driving. Somebody's just about to go to bed at night. And it doesn't need to be, it doesn't have to be, like, contrived. It doesn't have to be hot takes. And it doesn't have to be so serious. I don't take myself that serious. I roast myself. I joke about playing football. I joke about, you know, I just talked about how I used to mop floors. Like, I don't take it that serious. And I tried to lighten the mood, and I guess it blew up on me. But not really, because, like, it blew up in a way where I gained 1,000 followers. It blew up in a way where people that never heard of me now heard about me. I'm listening to Hoff show at like 4 a.m. Friday, and somebody from Boston calls, and they're talking about how they've been playing John Heyman's interview on WEEI in Boston. I've never listened to that for a second. But I'm like, wow, this thing really grew legs because John is a New York reporter who's been doing this for a long time, and he's known nationally, and so many people were hanging on Juan Soto. So many people were waiting on that news to drop. And, you know, him taking my jokes personal and kind of ending the call abruptly. Like, it's another thing, too. I see people like, John Heyman eviscerates Keith McPherson. John Heyman destroys Keith McPherson. What is destructed? What is eviscerated? I continued to do four hours more of a show. And I'm still doing shows. And I get it, man. I've been doing this now. This is 4 years. And I guess when you get to a level of, you know, just like I'm like clearly like not going anywhere and I'm still showing up and doing things, people try to like vilify you. They try to make you something you're not. People try to make me out to be a bad guy. People trying to write, oh, this guy's got to be fired yesterday. This guy will be gone in a minute. What are y'all talking about, bro? I'm like you. I'm probably the most regular guy. I'm the one that was in the bleachers with y'all. I'm the one that was in Barclays Center, MSG, MetLife with like, before this, I didn't think I would get this. I didn't think this was possible. And I'm trying to make it possible for more people. Like, yo, put yourself on the internet. Try. You never know. So I get it. It comes with the territory. But again, I apologize to John Heyman. And like, I'm not trying to be something like, I'm not trying to be a shock jock, clearly. And you know what I think from a lot of the good that I read? Like, people that actually listen to my show are like, Keith wasn't trying to do that. Keith was tongue-in-cheek, laughing, not trying to, you know, get the guy to storm off like that. So it is what it is. It's done, man. I'll be better about it. I'll be better about it. I won't make jokes with people. I joke all the time, though. That's the thing. I come from a upbringing of a cutting ass, getting roasted, getting joked on. Family, friends, what'd you do? I used to get on the bus. I used to get on the school bus every day where, like, that was the thing. You're going to get roasted from head to toe. What kind of shoes you wearing? What kind of jeans you wearing? What kind of shirt you wearing today? You got crust in your eye. Like, I don't know. I've been around a lot of people that's just what we do. We joke. We make light of things. Life is too short Don't take it too serious because none of us are going to get out alive. 888-808-1019. Robbie's in Lennox. Robbie, you're on the fan.
Nice smile. Like I'm laughing. I don't know what happened with Heyman. He's graduated high school on the island. My buddy Robin likes success. I don't know if Robbie has ever called.
I'll find out for you guys. When I see him, I'll check on it. And I mean, he might not want to talk to me. I find myself blocked on Twitter. He unfollowed me on Instagram. I'm like, bro, it's not that serious.
I don't even know what happened, but I know John's basically a good guy. So, but you know, I wanted to talk to you about the Giants. I'm a frustrated radio host right now. I haven't been on the radio for like the last 6 months, and so hopefully my buddy Ralph in Manhattan, and I'll be back doing this show in New England that we did for about a year or so. So anyway, about the Giants first, about the Raiders second. As far as the Giants go, do you trust this regime to come back? And secondly, are you interested in seeing what Deion's kid is like? Do you think he's worthy of a number, first round pick? I mean, do you think he's going to go in the first round?
He might
films of him, you know?
He might not be worthy of it, but he's the number one guy in this draft class. And they might not get the number one pick because of the strength of schedule. And if they both lose out, you're picking number two and you're getting Cam Ward, which I think like is the better way to go anyway. Deion, I follow all of them, right? So I follow Deion.
Right.
I follow Bucky, his oldest son.
I know you do, because you're a Cowboys fan. I know.
I've been following all of them. I watched Deion's reality TV show when Shador was a teenager. But they are so extravagant. Like, Shador was just here. He went to Louis. He went to Louis Vuitton. He went to Dior. He went to Saks Fifth Ave. He went to the Diamond Store. They are so rich and extravagant. Like, everything they do is overdone. He's wearing a $300,000 watch. Like, I guess that's good in one regard, where it's like New York's not going to be too big for him, but they just bring a ton. I feel like this regime needs more of a Cam Ward. He's going to come in here a lot more quiet and humble and locked in, where Dable can actually work with him. Shador Sanders been coached by his daddy too long, high school through college.
I just don't know I just know the situation, because what I'm thinking to myself is the Giants should trade down. You can't. You don't know what's going to happen with Thomas next year. He's hurt every year. So I say go and kill. The line still stinks.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. Stinks. The line is terrible. You can't keep any of these quarterbacks healthy.
Right. The other thing, too, is, this coach bothers me. When you have to throw three times inside the two-yard line yesterday, I'm sorry. You want to let Shane continue? I don't love his drafting, but I would give him another year to maybe, if they're not going to draft the quarterback. The problem is if you draft the quarterback, then you're going to have to keep this organization together.
Yes, that's
the
thing.
You can't just drop the quarterback.
I was saying earlier, get ready, Giants fans. If you're not high on these guys right now because they put back-to-back, like, terrible seasons, you've never seen back-to-back worse seasons than what you saw this year and last year, like, get ready, because it's not a guarantee that they get the quarterback and it works. I think they've lost a lot of those guys in that locker room. I think a lot of those guys in the locker room are looking at the way they handled things, and they're like, nah, these guys aren't the guys to lead us.
Exactly, and I'm just worried about the organization. But when you can't give your back, that ball, the two-yard line, you don't trust your offensive line to block three times for 2 yards, and you're throwing it to the deep part of the end zone.
That's another thing, too. There's rumors. There's rumors of the offensive coordinator from Miami coming to the Giants if Cam Ward is selected by them. I think they got to take the play calling out of Brian Dable's hands on the field.
Absolutely.
Let him oversee everything as the head coach, and let the play calling go to the eye in the sky. Not the camera, but like the guy up there that has the bird's eye view of the entire field.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely, no, I agree. As far as the Rangers go, Keith, real quick, blow this thing up. I'm sorry, in St. Louis last night.
Do more.
Blow it up. I can't take it anymore. I mean, honestly, they're not playing for Pierre Laviolette. I feel sorry for him. But let me tell you something that's really bothered me about Laviolette last night, and I wanted to I swear to God, I want to knock my TV over. Will Cooley has been the best player for the Rangers all year long. He's got 11 goals. He's the only guy who gets in front of the net and gets his ass, excuse my language, but he really gets his rear end in front of the net and his body in front of the net, and he's not afraid to go in front. Last night, they pulled the goalie with 2 minutes left. He's not even on the ice. Can you explain that to me? Can you explain why Mika's a bad agent and some of these other guys? He benched Mika last night. How do you not put the best voters been all season long and been consistent?
They've got injuries. They've got...
Why isn't Will Cooley on the ice, though? That's so dumb. I mean, it's just... Blow it up, man. I'm serious.
When it's bad, it's bad. When it rains, it pours. It's just like this team went from being in the Eastern Conference Final to unrecognizable.
But you know what, though? They were 15th in league last year. Everybody knew their deficiencies. They knew they were bad 5-on-5. They knew that their power play was
better. But they won. They won so many games, and they had winning streaks.
Yeah, but their goalie stood on their head last year. And their thing is, when you get into a situation in the playoffs, you get pushed around by Florida. This team is so soft, it's ridiculous, Keith. What? They can't keep the puck in the other team's zone for more than 5 seconds. It's miserable to watch. It's like all they do is chase the other team for like 60 minutes. It's intolerable defensive hockey. And I'll tell you who they could get somebody for is Lafreniere. Lafreniere's a guy I think they could get a couple pieces for. Kind of like many years ago when they traded Tony Amonte in the 1994 deal when the Rangers reloaded before the end of the season to win the Stanley Cup. They try to get more physical, so they traded Tony Monte for Stephen Monteau and Brian Noonan. That's what they need. Guys that play below the goal line. Guys that are not afraid to get in front of that. I know Ryan O'Reilly's 33. He's playing in Nashville right now. Nashville has one of the worst teams. And by the way, the Rangers are playing Nashville coming up. I guarantee you'll see them lose in Nashville, too. If they lose in Nashville, forget it. Peter Laviolette's gone. I'm sorry. They need a new voice. I don't care.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. It's tough for the Rangers fans, Rami. I know you're going through it as well. I seen the Devils beat the Kings, and then the Kings go across the river, beat the Rangers 5-1, and then they follow that up, losing to the St. Louis Blues. Where do we begin?
They lose to everyone. And the problem is they lost to the Blackhawks, who had 18 points on the season coming into the game. It was the worst.
Oh, my. The Devils turned it up on the Blackhawks on Saturday so fast. It was like the most ridiculous 5 minutes. It's like, I wish I went to that game. The FOMO was kicking my ass. I'm in there.
And I saw an interesting report. I think Johnny Lazarus maybe retweeted this, but I don't know if he co-signed on it, but I trust him. And it said the problem in the room is not with Laviolette. The problem's with Chris Drury. I don't understand how that manifests itself on the ice, right? This is the general manager. If you have an issue with him, I understand because he wanted to trade Trouba in the offseason. Trouba said no. Obviously, the same thing happened with Goodrow. Goodrow rejected the trade, so they were going to cut him. They don't like how he's doing things. He's running it like a business. That's how the general manager is supposed to be. It's cutthroat. It is a business. If you care about the coach, play for the coach, and they're not playing hard. And what he said,
play for yourself. Exactly. Like I just was saying about Aaron Rodgers
right,
and Devontae Adams. They're eliminated, but they're going out there and they're playing for their own name on the back of the jersey. Hockey is a dangerous-ass sport. You can't go out there and lay down. You get your face taken off. Like,
have some pride. And the Cooley, Hedl, Lafreniere line that they put together at the end of that game was the best line for the team. And the only guy who was on the ice from those three was Lafreniere at the end of the game. So two of the guys, Hedl and Cooley, who were making things happen for you, got it within one goal. All of a sudden, they're off the ice, and it's the same guys who were just standing around, just moping on the ice pretty much. They're the ones out there with the empty net. It made no sense to me, and I wouldn't trade Lafreniere. Lafreniere is probably their best player right now. Unfortunately, what's going to happen is it's probably going to lead to them ultimately trading Chris Kreider, which I don't want to see. But he's my favorite athlete right now.
They got to blow it all up. He's not going to be not included in trades. 888-808-1019. There's so much going on, but not really. Like, it's like so many things we could grab from the Jets, from the Giants. Haven't really even mentioned the Knicks right now. We actually spoke about the Nets and the trade they made. Rangers got to make more moves. The Devils are looking good. I mean, my boy Christian sent me this. Shout out to Devils fan page. Number of times giving up one or less goals in 2023, the 2024 season, it was 10 games in 82 games. In the 2024-2025 seasons, it's 11 games and 33 games played. So in 49 less games, the Devils have already passed their season total from last season of games giving up one or less goals after their 11th time doing it against the Blackhawks. The defense is better. And like I took a call from Josh from Passaic where there was like a little bit of a stumble with the Devils. And I just was like, yo, just chill. Like, I know the Avalanche came through and the Maple Leafs came through during the homestand and the Devils took a couple L's back-to-back. But I'm like, they're a good team. We know they're a good team. Like, they're going to lose. Yeah, they lost 4-0 to the Avalanche, 2-1 to the freaking Maple Leafs, almost said the other one, in overtime. But they're a good team. They bounce back, beat the Kings, beat the Blackhawks. They'll face the Blues today. Then they'll go to D.C. No, they'll go face the Blue Jackets. And then when do they come home? They come home Saturday against the Penguins. And I'll see you there. 888-808-1019. I got to get back with the Devils fans. I haven't been there since opening night. You know, I've realized I need to repair my standing with the Mets fans as well. So, you know, just as I'm reading all these things on the internet, and, you know, I click on these people's pages that are saying bad things about me, and a lot of times they'll have, like, a Pete Alonso profile picture, or now it's Steve Cohen as their profile picture, or now it's Juan Soto as their profile picture. I'm just trying to figure out what I got to do to get back in the good graces of the Bet fan.
Can't even believe it!
Why are you dropping that? This got nothing to do with that. I guess it does. It actually has a lot to do with the Mets. Let's go, Mets. Doo-doo-doo. Connor is in New Brunswick. Connor, you're on the fan.
What's up, Keith? It's my first time ever calling in. You're my favorite radio guy. And let me just tell you to start that no matter what you do in life, you're going to have haters, bro. So you can't worry about none of that stuff, man.
I'm not worried.
People are going to fall. People going to talk regardless, bro.
You're 100% correct, bro. I always talk about when I started getting popping in, like, third grade, second grade. Little things, bro. Little wins that I would have. I won the Pokemon Snap contest where I took the best picture of Mewtwo at the end of the Pokemon Snap game, and I sent it in, and Pokemon sent me all these stickers and shirts and keychains and swag, and when I went to school, nobody was happy for me. I'm like, y'all hating. I know y'all hating.
Nah, bro, that's swag, bro. Haters gonna hate.
Regardless, I'm like, look what I did. Y'all not happy for me? You mad? It's not you. All right.
So let me get to. I'm a New York Mets fan. I'm happy that we got sold on all that, but I'm just a little more worried about this starting pitching. I think that he showed last year that he can get some guys on 1 year deals, 2 year deals, whatever it may be, and it could work out. But not having an ace is Kodai Senga only pitching, what, like a couple innings last year and a little bit in the playoffs. I'm just worried about the starting pitching more than anything else with this team.
Yeah, you have to worry about it because right now that's the main thing. And I mean, I know if you're looking at any Yankee fans or what, you know, Yankee fans are saying to you, they're saying, yeah, you got Juan Soto, but who's going to pitch? Who is your ace? Now, what I'll say is they were pretty proactive in claiming Frankie Montas right away, also getting Clay Holmes right away. But you lose Severino. I think Sean Manaea's got to be back. Even if he's not your actual ace, he could be. I just think, like, he had such a good year with the team last year. Just pay the man what he's worth. And then, you know, you're going to have some other marginal signings, some other guys that you might not really think of. David Peterson had a great year last year. There was times where I said he was an unsung hero of the team. Let's see if he can do more from what he did last year. Tyler McGill as well. And
the problem with Peterson is, I mean, last year was the first year I actually feel like he showed, like, anything. The past couple years, he's just been...
So let's see if he could do it again. I mean, you kind of got to bank on that, right? You got to bank on a homegrown guy that came into his own, figured it out, hope that he could do it again. But also, I trust that Stearns is working. Earlier, I was talking about how the hot stove is warm now. When it's warm now, like, these guys are just hanging out there. And Stearns is doing his little marginal moves, but next thing you know, there'll be a trade. And then you obviously know you have the money to sign whoever you want. So, it plays into your hands. The more time that passes that free agents are out there and available, just the price comes down, and you got Scott Boras's line, and everybody else knows you got the owner with the richest pockets, deepest pockets. Like, I think Stearns obviously has his principles and not giving guys, you know, long deals. But you're going to have some guys. They're not stupid. They're not going into the season without reinforcements. You need pitching, and more pitching. And especially now that you have Juan Soto, they're not going to let this team have a huge hole. And you know what? Last year we said they had the worst rotation in baseball with Severino, with Sean Manaea. And it's like, no one knows anything. So I think you got time.
Nah, definitely. I went to maybe 15 Met games last year. And it wasn't really even the starting pitching that was ever bad. That bullpen just, it seemed like whenever they handed it over to the bullpen, that 7-8, innings.
Yep. And then they worked on that, and they got the bullpen right, and then you end up in the NLCS. And now I think some of those pieces of the bullpen, like Jose Buto, you don't need him to go back to being a starting pitcher. Keep him where he is. Edwin Diaz, obviously, you know, if Clay Holmes doesn't work out as a starter, then he can shift and be a piece in the bullpen. I don't know. I think
Clay
they've
Holmes,
got
I know,
options.
I know, I know you're a Yankee. Clay Holmes, watching that man last year, especially when he's on my fantasy team, every time that guy touched the ball,
I don't know, bro. Yeah, it wasn't. It was actually his worst year, and it wasn't great for us. I think if he doesn't blow half of those saves, it changes the Yankees' fortunes in a couple different ways, but it's going to be completely different. Like, I think they're going to put him in the pitching lab, and they're going to figure some things out for him. He's going to be completely different. I think Clay will be better suited pitching for the Mets and the Yankees, and they're not going to put him in a high-leverage situation with the literal game on the line and a one-run lead or something like that. Like, I think he's just going to look completely different pitching for you guys.
I hope so. I mean, I'm not really one to like having bullpen guys go to be starters either. That's always, I feel like, a little bit like a question for me whenever teams decide to do that.
Yeah, he may be. He may not be. He might be a guy that they start off with the idea that he could be a starter, and then they could get another starter. I left out Paul Blackburn, who you got at the trade deadline last year. I know he was hurt. I'm trying to think who else they have right now as starting pitchers. It really is nothing to write home about. Christian Scott, and then we hear all this talk about Brandon Sproat. But, like, those guys aren't locks. Those guys are, you know, you're hoping that those young guys are ready. Too, like, yeah, you can't go into a season where, you know, everybody in New York is talking about, oh, welcome to the big boys table, got to win the World Series, got to get to the World Series, got to face the Dodgers and be able to beat the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers pitching is going to be revamped, and they're going to be stronger. So I know the Mets know that they've got to get some type of ace, maybe two, if they're going to realistically compete in their own division with the Braves and with the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, seeing what he did last year again with just signing Manaea, Severino to short deals and it actually working out, I got faith in him to do that. But, I mean, it's definitely, to me, it's going to be the bullpen more than anything. And I think we're going to sign Pete Alonso back too, but that's also up in the air, but
I think you signed Pete. I just think it's like nobody else is beating down his door, and I don't think he really wants to leave, especially now that you have Juan Soto. He might feel slighted. He might feel some type of way that Juan Soto has gotten all of this type of stuff. Like, there was an article. Thanks for the call, Connor. Appreciate you making your first call. See, I do got some love from some Mets fans, too, and I know that I know it's not everybody. It's just really, like, a ton of nerds online that are Mets fans that hate me, and I get it. Like, I've brought it on to myself, but I'm going to repair my relationship with the Mets fans. Now that we're past the Juan Soto decision, I'm going to repair my relationship with the Mets fans before we get into the season. I was going back and forth with somebody. They were like, oh, this guy never wants to talk about the Mets. I'm like, who was on the fan after this whole postseason run? Who was talking every night after those games? Who called them the Make It Happen Mets? Who was in here? Anyway, there was an article where I'm like, if I'm Pete Alonso, I'm making demands too through the same agent. So there was an article by Bill Madden where they talked about some of the details of Juan Soto's contract. And I don't know, man, believe whatever you want to believe at this point, and none of it matters. Ultimately, we know it was the largest contract by a lot. Signing bonus, incentives, you know, rounding up the AAV, going up in AAV. But I'm trying to find the part of this article that just had me laughing, and I thought about it. And I'm like, there's no way the Yankees were going for it, bro. There's no way that the Yankees were going to do it. So, yeah, it's a, you know, they told you about the suite, and they told you about the four premium tickets, right? Like he's going to get a suite to every game and four premium tickets. And in the presser, Scott Boras referred to Soto's family as like Soto Inc. or Soto Incorporated. I forget how he called them, like Soto La Familia, like it's Juan Soto, but it's really his whole family behind him. And in this article, they talk about family services. It was said but not confirmed that the family services clause in the contract includes charter flights for his family to road games and a clothes allowance for his mother. I don't know, I won't say I hope that's not true, but what are we talking about, bro? And then it says Cohen probably doesn't care, but all these perks are included in the overall value of a contract. Like a clothing allowance for his mom, so his mom can get fresh for the games. Does she have an Instagram following? Chartered flights for his family to go to Miami, for his family to go to San Diego, for his family to go to L.A.? That's included? Can he take care of that with the 51? I don't know. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll hit the Yankees conversations to close this out. I know you guys want to talk baseball all the time. Football is dead. There's nothing to really talk about there. Keep McPherson on the fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. These are my Mets.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Country Grammar on the Fan. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. 888-808-1019. I lost one of my Yankee calls. We're going to go to Charles next. And, yeah, over the weekend, I'm at dinner with my wife. I haven't gone to dinner with my wife in, like, 4 months. It's tough once you have a kid, you know. If, you know, little, like, sidebar for y'all out there. Like, you have a kid, still take your wife out. Try and find time to go to dinner, just you two. Have somebody watch the kid. You just need it because you become parents where the kid sucks so much energy from you, literally. So much of your thoughts, so much of your time, you're cleaning, you're changing diapers, you're entertaining, you're worrying, and you both are, and you forget to spend time together. So I needed to spend time with my wife, and my wife was mad. And I'm like, why are you mad? She's like, can you stop scrolling your phone? Are you just scrolling? I'm like, no, I'm not scrolling. I'm reading about Anthony Santander. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. I'm like, I don't know. Like, now it seems like Anthony Santander might be in play. And I'm like, I'm also waiting for the Cody Bellinger news to break. All day, people have been on belly watch. And I don't know if Nico Horner is coming through. I don't know how much money Cash is going to give them. I don't know if the Ricketts are going to be cheap. I don't know. I'm like, it's hot stove time. I'm like, I love you. I'm not ignoring you. But as we're waiting for the next course to come, I'm trying to see. I'm trying to make sure Jeff Passan didn't drop some. You know, Buster Only, Ken Rosenthal, one of those guys. Either way. Where the Yankees are right now after adding Max Fried, waiting for that to go official, but don't really care. I know it's going to go official sometime. And Devin Williams will be on the Zoom call later today at 2. You add one of the best starters you could have added. You add one of the best closers you could have added. You add and subtract Nestor Cortez and Clay Holmes. Like if you're a Yankees fan, think about how many pain points you've had with those two guys. Oh, come on, Nestor. Not Clay again. Gone. Done. Fixed. Those two guys stay healthy, great. But there's still more to do. And I can't, you know, discount Loaisiga whenever he comes back. He'll be a great addition as well. And I hope he can stay healthy. But there's still more to do. You need bats. You lose the generational Juan Soto's bat. You're not going to replace that production. But Anthony Santander being floated out there, a guy that hit 44 bombs, a switch hitter, a guy that played right field, could play some left field. We don't know about Yankee Stadium, but he has over 10 games at first base where maybe he could project to be a first base. I don't know. I would explore it, especially when they're talking about his deal. I saw somewhere talking about he's expecting an $80 million deal. I'm like, no, he's not. I saw somewhere 5 years, $100 million. I'm like, well, after, you know, the Juan Soto deal is upwards of $805 million. Like, that's what's taking a while. These guys are trying to get paid. They definitely can't use that as a benchmark, but they got to figure it out as far as, you know, their agents and these free agents. Teoscar Hernandez, I'm seeing now, is just looking for a 3-year deal after the year he had. And the Yankees got to figure out whether it's Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Alex Bregman, Christian Walker, that you're going out there and buying. All it takes is money, or you're trading for Cody Bellinger, Nico Horner, which solves two problems that you have, two spots that you have, and you got to take on some of that money. They got time. They got time. But I heard Cashman himself say, like, you know, the resources to improve your team out there right now, they're plentiful. There's a lot of them. But, like, as time goes on, there's less and less. So you got to strike. And they were proactive with the Devin Williams trade, proactive with the signing of Max Fried and not letting him become a Red Sox or a Blue Jay. Like, you know, you kept him away from two teams in your division. I don't think the Orioles are out to re-sign Santander. They probably got some young guy coming up that can play the outfield. Take Santander away from the Orioles and you throw him in left, see if he could do it. If he can't, first base could be an option. I'm not against it, but I don't know if they're going to spend. I think they're going to try and find ways. This is Cashman we're talking about. As soon as Cashman didn't have to spend that 600, or that's $760 million for Juan Soto. He's like, okay, now I can get crafty and do my job. And we wait for him to do his job. I'll tell you this, after this week goes, not even this week, by the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, which is a week from Christmas, they're checking out. People are on vacation. People start dipping. You can't find people. Like right now, Max Fried might be on vacation from Twitter rumors. People start going places. People are starting to shut down. People are spending that quality holiday time with their family. They're not doing work. So you're not going to see any breaking news. You're not going to see anyone get traded for or signed probably once we get to this weekend. 888-808-1019. Call me up. Tell me what you think about Bregman or Santander, Teoscar Hernandez, Cody Bellinger, Nico Horner. I don't know. They told you they're out on Nolan Arenado. Christian Walker is still a potential. The Yankees need to add some hitters to this lineup. Charles is down in Deal. What's up, Charles? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Holding it down, man.
Love to hear it. I mean, I obviously, Soto, massive. I'm a Mets fan, but I do want to ask you a kind of Mets and Yankees related question in a way. Because I'm just curious to hear from like the Yankee fan perspective what you think. And by the way, I did see that video when I was watching the Mets social media when they showed Soto walking into the press conference and he gave a little tap to Heyman, and then you're the first person I thought of. I was dying laughing, man.
Yeah, I got so many notifications of people tagging me, and then I put it on my own social media. Like, okay, I'm the bad guy. You guys are all calling me. I'm not all you, man. A lot of people pointing the finger at me. What's this? What's this? What's this tap mean? Why is Juan Soto tapping John Heyman? He's friends with reporters. Anyway.
Yeah, I was like, obviously, I'm a young guy. I don't know how, like, older people think, but I knew you were just making a joke. It was all fun. But, I mean, I thought it was funny, at least.
Yeah. This is fun and games to me. It's not that serious.
Then you see that, and you're like, hey, maybe he was right for real. But, you never know. But I wanted to ask you a Mets-Yankees-related question. So, I want Pete back. The Yankees have holes to fill in the lineup. Obviously, need a first baseman. I think most Yankee fans would prefer a shorter-term fix, maybe like Josh Naylor from Cleveland or Christian Walker on a short-term deal. But how would you feel about the Yankees potentially getting Alonso to play first base in the Bronx?
Josh Naylor? Yeah, his name started popping up, and I'm like, nah. He rocked the baby on Cole. I know they already put Josh Donaldson in the clubhouse after he called out Cole for the spider attack. Can't do that to Cole again. Pete Alonso, I didn't mention because I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to pay Pete what he wants, and I don't think he's trying to put on the pinstripes. There's a lot of Mets in his blood. He wants to be back in Queens with the Mets. He's been so vocal about it. I don't think the Yankees sign him, but, you know, Scott Boras and whoever else is going to float the Yankees' name as being interested in Pete Alonso, but I don't think they do that. I think they get younger, more athletic at the position. I think Pete signs with the Mets, and I think it's going to be a deal where it's obviously not a lot for the Mets, and I think Pete's going to have to come down a little bit. I think Pete was seeking like 7 years. It's not going to be a seven-year deal, and I think it works out for all parties. I was saying it during the season, like, he's pressing, and then he finally just said to hell with it and came through in the postseason. But I think once he signs and he's taken care of, whether it's a three-year deal or five-year deal, I don't think he's going to get more than that from the Mets. I think he'll be a better player. I think he'll go back to being the Pete that we knew a couple years ago.
And then I agree. And I also think it's like, it's such a, this is what Scott Boras is. He's so hit or miss with his clients. I feel like it's like you go out there, obviously he has Juan Soto. That guy's going to get paid. There's no doubt.
It's a hit every time. There was no way for him to miss with that.
Yeah. Like I could have my dog representing Soto and he's getting paid. Like that's like no doubt. But when it comes to these guys, like you look at some of the guys he had last offseason, it's just people going out there. And he likes to just get this idea in their head that this is their value, this is their value, this is their value. Turn down the extension, always turn it down, go to free agency, all this, always get to free agency. And it ends up hurting a guy. Like, for example, Alonso, he had a seven-year deal, I think, for $180 million on the table last year.
I think a little less than that. But, yeah, supposedly
it was. There's no chance he gets a seven-year deal. So, I mean, that's just another thing. Like, he just, it's very. You got to feel bad for Pete there. But, I mean, that's something that his agent advised him not to do, and he followed his agent, and now it hurt him. I mean, he's going to probably end up, I think, back with the Mets. But I mean, it's got to be on a shorter-term deal because that's what the Mets feel comfortable. They're not going to be wanting to pay a 37-year-old first baseman on the decline, you know, $28 million a year.
And they've got options. So, they could put Vientos at first base. They can bring up one of the young first basemen. They could sign another first baseman. They could trade for another first – I don't know. But I just think, like, Steve Cohen told you, like, how much he knows, you know, what Pete means to the fan base and, like, how important he is to the fans. And I think they're just waiting it out. And that's what you do in negotiations. That's what you do in the market. Let's see who comes in to offer. The Anaheim Angels going to offer Pete a 7-year deal? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's options outside of him. I think Alex Bregman is a better player than Pete overall because he just has that spectacular defense at third. Like, I think what a lot of people are saying about Bregman, though, is he's like a good candidate for a fall-off because he benefits a lot from those
Crawford boxes. Yeah, but I think he's a dog. I think he's a guy that's going to, you know, be motivated to, you know, get away from Houston and play well like others have. I don't think the Mets are going to pay him what he's looking for. He's looking for a long-term deal.
Yeah, like 7 years. I don't think
these guys are 30, man. They're trying to get their last deal for real. They're trying, like, Pete Alonso's 29 going on 30. Bregman, I believe, is 30. They're trying to get a 7-year, 8-year deal to take them to 37, 38, where they can retire and be filthy rich.
Yeah, and what do you think about, like, the Yankees? Like, obviously the 760 mil, like, everyone's going to say, you know, just take the money, spread it out, and get all these guys. But you have to obviously think that was 760 mil over 15 years. It comes out.
Yeah, it was 47 and a half for this year. They're not going to spend that much in free agency.
So, like, what can they realistically do? Like, they should bring in Santander. That's a 44 home run a year switch hitting power bat that would play unbelievably. They have moves to make.
But where you put him in? Like, that's everybody. Everybody was responding to me. His defense. I'm like, what about Soto's defense? Like, what are you guys talking about? We just got through last year with Soto's defense and not taking a shot at him. But, like, is Santander that much worse than Soto out there? Like, I don't know. They're saying he can't play left. That's what people were worried about. He can't play left. You need someone that can really run in left field in Yankee Stadium. It's an ocean. It's a lot of ground to cover. We've been cursed out there since Brett Gardner left. I don't think they're going to pay a guy that they can't pay a guy just for his bat. And the 760 for Juan Soto, a lot of that was based on the fans, the fact that they got back to the World Series, the fact that they saw with their own eyes that this guy could handle being a Yankee, being in New York. So they kept up in the offer, and also they knew who they were up against. They knew they were up against Steve Cohen and the Mets, and they weren't trying to lose to the Mets. But that's a rare case. I don't think that they're doing that. Now, they did overextend for Max Fried. I thought 7 years was a lot. When I saw 8, I'm like, okay, they did what they had to do to win the player. They did what they had to do to not let him become a Red Sox or Toronto Blue Jay after losing Juan Soto to the Mets. So, yeah, we'll see what they do with the money. They don't want to take on Bellinger's money, and I get it. Bellinger's not worth that $52 million over the next 2 years. That would be stupid to take that on.
I think what they're saying about Bellinger is, like, yeah, there's a money stare down, but he wasn't that good with the Cubs last year. I think what people are saying is, like, oh, he's going to come into Yankee Stadium in that ballpark and his swing's going to play better and all that stuff. But that's just
he can play center field. Nobody knows for sure. That's a hope. Like, okay, hopefully his swing plays with the short porch.
And it might be like a bad comparison. Like, let me know if I'm wrong, but I just think it reminds me a lot of like Joey Gallo. Like, it's like bring him in. Like, oh, he's a guy who's not going to hit for a high average. He'll hit you some home runs. He's got the swing.
He's better than Joey Gallo. I mean, this guy won an MVP. Joey Gallo was strikeout king. Like, Joey Gallo just, like, he got zapped when he got here. He just could not play here. He could play out there in Texas with the Rangers where the fans don't boo you and the fans aren't on top of you like that. The fans never sell out the place. He got to New York. It was too much for him. Thanks for the call, Charles. Sorry, bro. I got to go. I got one more call I wanted to get in before they hit the back time on me. Rob is in Cape May, New Jersey. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good, man. Got you in there. Thanks for calling.
Good. Teoscar Hernandez, I love him. He has experience in left. He's more than capable out there in left. And for a three-year deal, I'm sold. He's a
affordable, clutch, dog, killed it in Yankee Stadium. He plays for the bright lights like he won the home run derby this year, first time in it. He came to Yankee Stadium, and he was the MVP of that June series the first time around. Like he's someone we've seen him do it with the Mariners. We've seen him do it with the Blue Jays. He's someone that I would bring. I think he's a good clubhouse guy, too. I think they should explore it. But I was sure he was going to be a Dodger before Juan Soto signed. Now there's like a bunch of teams vying for his services. 3-year deal, get it done. I'd like to see him. I guys can get reps in left field that have played the outfield before and be fine. Like, you know, some of those balls are going to drop in shallow left field. It is what it is.
I've seen him do well at Dodger Stadium. He's not a hack out there at all. He's a superstar on the down low, I think, especially with all those home runs. He's cut down on his strikeouts, too, I noticed. I had him in fantasy, so I noticed a little
bit. I mean, he deserves to get paid. This guy bet on himself, took a one-year deal with the Dodgers, won a World Series, and was a huge part of their entire season. He was having a better season than some of the like MVPs and guys that everybody knows. So, I don't know. If he's out of there, I think the Yankees should explore. But for some reason right now, I think they're waiting the market out, and guys are going to get claimed. And they're going to miss out on some guys, and they're trying to make trades, and they're trying to save money. And I don't know. We wait. We wait on the bats, man. We wait. It's warm stove time now.
Yes, that would be nice. Getting either Teoscar or Santander would be great. And Bellinger, if not. But it'll be nice to see what they do. It's all fun in the hot stove league. Keith, have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Rob. It's a warm stove. It's like when you cooked. You turn the stove off like 15 minutes ago, but that little red light is on and like let you know like the stove's still kind of hot. But then you accidentally touch it and you don't get burned. You're like, oh, I feel it though. We're at the warm stove. Where if nothing happens in the next 3 days, people are home for the holidays. And they're not about to do any press conferences during the week of Christmas. They're not about to announce any signings. So Max Fried, come on back and Devin Williams, we'll see you, and I'll see you tomorrow. See Max next. Good night. Sports Radio 101.